Hi, I'm Deb McIntyre, and you are listening to the Shamans Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope my podcast gives you some insight into shamanism and its ancient practices and processes. This podcast will cover elements of shamanism that you can incorporate into your everyday life. You will also be listening to other people's experiences via my podcast guests. We will talk about many topics such as primal woman, primal man, the shaman's talking stick, the shaman's roundtable discussion, as well as some more general topics that I might throw in. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, or perhaps you are listening whilst out walking or in the car. And welcome to this week's episode. Welcome to today's Primal Woman podcast. Today we are joined by Gabrielle Rangihoe. Gabrielle is a Māori healing practitioner, Akotoro Whanau trainer and empowerment coach. I apologize to Gabrielle and our listeners for my mispronunciation of cultural sensitive words. Welcome, Gabrielle.
Thank you for having me. Such an honor to be here.
I am so excited to have you on this podcast sharing the wisdom and knowledge from your ancestors. So could we start by learning about your ancestry?
So I am a Ngāti Kahungungu, Ngāti Rongomai Wahine, Ngāti Pahuera and Rangatane Wahine, which are the iwi or tribes that I come on my Māori side. I also have English on my mother's side and then Scottish and German ancestry woven in on my father, who's my Māori parent side as well. So all together, I'm a bit of a mongrel, I guess, in some ways. But that's so beautiful spiritually, I feel.
Wow, that's a wow. That's just wonderful. I love it. I'm so excited to find out more. So can you fill in listeners as to the work you do and the connection of these practices to your ancestors?
Yeah, so the work that I do is I both practice in and train in Romi Romi and Miri Miri. And Miri Miri is a softer hand or an energetic loving form of connection. It can be hands-on or energetic. And then Romi Romi is more of a deeper extraction form of work where we're extracting energies that aren't sovereign to the body. And these were cultural practices that have been maintained in New Zealand, but have at different times been practiced underground and are now currently going through a bit of an re-emergence and becoming more known and more widely to more people. So that's the work that I do. It works with energetic, emotional, spiritual, and physical vital points that are both in the body and outside the body throughout the heavens, which are Te Rangi o Te Ame, Te Rangi o Te Pō, and we connect through the central channel from the earth through to the highest heavens.
Oh, I love that. So when someone comes to see you, I guess they're on a table and you work energetically with and calling your ancestors and spirits in to help you, to guide you intuitively in that space. Do you feel that as part of the work you do, you also channel energy?
I definitely think that I channel energy in my practice, but it's slightly different from how I understand that other shamanic practices channel it, in that we're very much focused in our practice on continuing to bring the life force into the body, and that's as the practitioner and also as the person on the table. So we encourage as much as possible, even when we're connecting with all these different energies or a tīpuna, which is the word for ancestors in our practice, that the person that we're working with remains sovereign and comes back to the body more and more. So in that way, we call that more of a neutrality, whereby different spirits or energies can collaborate or co-create, yet we still have choice around which energies in particular we will work with.
Oh, I love that. Oh, wow. That's just amazing. Was there a calling, or did you ever experience a calling for you to undertake this work? How was the natural progression for you?
It makes sense now in hindsight, but at the time it really didn't. I feel in some ways that I was being trained as a healer my whole life, yet of course I didn't know that as a child. My dad is Māori and talked a lot about these sort of things, but it wasn't in a formal way. It was more in a just everyday conversation way. But he also taught Tai Chi. My parents spent quite a bit of time in the spiritualist church, and my mum did Reiki and massage as well. So these sorts of things were around me. So I was learning a lot in that, and then traveled a lot. I left New Zealand and went to Ecuador when I was 17. So I completed my last year of high school in Ecuador. So sort of enveloped that energy there in South America, and was still seeking but living a very normal life until probably 27, where I had really been trying to go down the corporate route and trying to fit in and live this normal life, and everything just fell apart. And that was, I would say, when I realised I had a calling. I'd actually started training in Domi Domi prior to that, but had no intention at all to practice it. It was more for my own connection to culture and missing home. I was in Perth at the time. So wanting to connect back home to that energy and felt that call, but did not intend to use it at all.
Wow. What a vast experience. Oh, I love that. And it's interesting when we sometimes appreciate another culture, and when we travel, that we find that pull more to our ancestors and to learning more about the work that we can do and integrate into our life. I would be really interested if you feel you can share about some of these ancient Māori philosophies and teachings that you integrate into your work.
Let me sit with that for a minute. So I think one of the things that's primarily, there's the two things philosophy-wise that are different, quite different than other practices, yet similar in other ways. And that one is that we're trying to really call people into the body. So the workers can be quite painful physically for people. We don't shy away from pain or things that may be taboo in other practices. Then at the other end of it, there's an aspect of always connecting with energies of every form. So every single thing in the world has an energetic frequency that we mihi and acknowledge through our practice. So it's not like, say, I've done a bit of Vipassana or a Buddhist practice, and that aspect, they're trying to get to what we would call e kore, which, or te toi marangi, like the highest vibrational piece of the heavens, by bypassing bypassing some of those other energetic frequencies, whereas we stop and clear on every level. So we're not trying to just maintain one frequency. We're honouring all the different frequencies, which we call atua or marikura or fatukura, which are divine feminine and masculine essences. So just about the ocean has a feminine and a masculine essence, which has a name. The wind has a masculine and feminine essence, which has a name. So we'll call on these different aspects depending on the person and what the person on the table needs. Sometimes it is just talk. So we will say koriro mirimiri, so loving talk can also shift energy at times.
Oh, yes, I love that. And I absolutely resonate with what you're saying, you know, the masculine and feminine and all in the energy and acknowledging, and absolutely too, I totally agree with those different levels of the journey that we need to undertake, and some of them can be quite traumatic and painful, but to experience it for part of the healing process. So I don't know, you're talking and I'm getting really excited because it really resonates with me. And I love it that you're using your own language, because for us it's so important to respect and pay homage to that, especially when we're speaking about specific cultural healing modalities and the work that we do, you know. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Have you seen the results in your own life the more you acknowledge and step into this ancient energy and practice?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know how to start with that. I would say, so my second Domi Domi that I received was I was driving there on the way and I heard a voice in my ear saying, "Are you ready?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm ready." having no idea what I had agreed to. and then that's sort of what, a week later when everything started really reforming, it was like my whole life fell apart, everything structurally that I knew. So I sort of had to pick myself up from rock bottom from that point. So from there to now, my life is completely different. I think I met you a few years after that experience in the first time. So you have some idea of the shift that I've undergone and to some degree, but every single day there's an aspect of deeper cleansing, deeper awareness of the real impact of our words and our vibration and our choices and our actions that I certainly had no idea about when I just knew about the philosophy or culture in my mind rather than my heart and my gut and my yoni. It's like a totally different experience when it's all through your body and all through the way that you live.
Yes. yes. Absolutely. I totally resonate with that. The change, you know, the journey, and sometimes we have to hit that, whether it's rock bottom or the plateau, for us to actually step up and acknowledge this. And I love it when the voice of spirit comes through and, you know, sometimes we have to take a second look or a second guess and say, oh, was that me or was that spirit talking to me? And, you know, am I ready to go on that journey? Which leads me again, for many of us who step into this space, you know, this imposter syndrome. Have you ever encountered any times where stepping into this power, because it is a very powerful practice, any healing modality, but especially a one that has such a cultural significance, have you found there have been any difficulties that you have encountered stepping into this power, or perhaps the imposter syndrome?
I'm going to talk to this in a few different ways, and I think it's a really beautiful and important question, because I also see just about all my trainees grappling with this in some way. So for me, I mean, I have white skin and I'm practicing a Māori practice, so I'd had to navigate that. I had to navigate aspects of owning my own identity and the white pieces of me with the cultural pieces of me and the Māori pieces of me and the bits of me that were just me that don't have a culture to work with this. And I also at many times feel there's been so many different initiations. There's been difficult discussions with teachers that I've had about choices I want to make and things like that, where you have to really decide what you're standing for yourself and choose what path that you'll take. And I would say when I'm doing a session, I don't feel that, because I feel very, we would say whakanoa, or the word is neutral, but it's a neutrality that you bring in love or care or shifting. There's an energetic that flows with that. It's not a completely without energy. but I would say when I'm in that space, I don't have that, but occasionally afterwards I will, just based on some of the things that come through. Once I had to hit someone with flowers, for example, was directed to do that, and it ended up being a beautiful shift, but you question those things afterwards, like why would that be the thing that came through, or why am I being directed this way? Initially, especially when we're learning, I think to shift from that, we would say putting our mind space more towards our manawa or our hearts or our body, and learning that those different vibrations and frequencies and textures of how energy speaks with us and vibrates to us from the universe, there's definitely a lot of doubt that has to be just learned through flexing that muscle and understanding it on a deeper level.
Yes. Have you also found, this was just dropping in as you were talking, like the elders, you know, perhaps, because I know you teach some of these practices in a course. Yep. So have they, or have you ever encountered them saying, well, this is a, ancient cultural, you know, private secret practice. You know, why are you sharing this with those I've encountered this as well. So I'm just wondering if you've ever experienced that from the elders.
I have, and I think it's such a good thing for us to talk about, because that's also one of the things that stops people doing the work sometimes. So my sense, and this is a view of the, because of doing the work now for this time, my sense is that we're universally shifting. So this wisdom and this knowledge is needed. Yet at the same time, different generations had different backgrounds and different understandings of how we respected and maintained culture. And it's not always generationally, because I also have many, many beautiful elders who support and affirm, come along and love the way that we share this work. At the same time, there's other people who, for their own reasons, I can't put the reasoning onto them, that for them it is a practice that was traditionally behind closed doors, and for them it may be activating to see the work being shared publicly, and also to non-Māori students and clients and things like that. For me, that's one of the things I've really had to anchor into, is my trust of the universal value of it. For me, it works regardless of culture, and it supports so many people in really deep ways. And if I wasn't offering that, I feel I personally wouldn't be in my own integrity. Yet I totally honour those people who have their own views, and yeah, I honour that view. Yet I'm unable to walk that at keeping it simply behind closed doors. But at the same time, there's many things that I'm very much looking for signs or energetics of how and where and who to share to and what to speak. And I trust the spaces that I'm guided to. So yeah, yes. There's an aspect of it may appear that things are really public, but at the same time, there's a lot that does happen behind closed doors and is in the seen and unseen realms. And that can be happening in the public, yet people will or won't see it depending on if they're meant to with the eyes that they have.
Yes, yes. Is there anything that you focus on daily as part of your practice that helps you?
The main thing that I do is pūria, which is a cleanse. So swim in the ocean most days. Sometimes when it's cold, I don't. I'll just go, let the wind give me the ocean energy. I do say the kaupare every day, which is a protection or a cleansing prayer. And those are the main things, but it's mostly just a way of life and making sure that I listen and follow my intuition that I feel keeps me the most grounded and safe.
Yes. How has your belief in self changed? I think we go back to what you said earlier about trusting and believing. How has your belief in self changed over time?
It's changed so much. I really do think that our intuition or insight or our ability to use these gifts is a muscle, and the more that you use it, the more you see that it works. And it's a subtler energy, so it's softer, it's more quiet than some of the other energies that speak to us. So I think the more that I've practiced using it, and the more results I see, and then the more feedback that I get, those sorts of things, the more I'm like, okay, there's something to this. And then you sort of let go of the doubt. It still arises for sure. But it's always like, I know I can get through that now. Whereas I think some of the first times when doubt would arise, I wasn't certain that all would be well. But another thing that I know I feel I've chosen to believe is that just as I'm protected by my tīpuna and my guides and ancestors, other people are protected by theirs. So they can also, I can let some of that energy go back to people if I'm worried about them or things like that.
Yes, that's so powerful. Honouring other people's ancestors and their spirit guides, as well as honouring our own. Yes, thank you. That's beautiful. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Oh, what comes through? I feel as if in these times in particular, it's really important for us to begin questioning what our unique pathway is and following those pings and starting to listen to where we're being called. And it may not, like for us, we're talking about ancestors, but I work with many energies as well, and it's not always ancestral. And sometimes it is my higher self or what my feeling is. And I feel as if in knowing, holding ourselves strong while also acknowledging these energies, there's an aspect of shedding and dropping armor that we can achieve, you know, with everything that's happening in the world at the moment, because it's quite an intense time. There's a lot going on, and everyone seems to be in it and growing and shifting in a way that does seem different to me than previous when I first began. I don't know if that's my skill set growing or if that's what the energies are at the moment. Yeah, I would say if people feel a call beyond what they're living, to listen to that.
Yes, absolutely. And there is that change that has happened over time, but I agree with you in that recently it's escalated to, you know, another dimension or another kind where we're actually, it's not an emotional, it's the emotional part of self as well as the physical part of self, as well as, you know, those stories and patterns that we have in our mind. But connecting to those energies around and understanding how those energies impact our own lives. And absolutely, you know, whether it's ancestral work, working with your higher self, working with your spirit guides, working with any of the other energies and the modalities that are around, you know, working with nature, it always brings up or shows up with what our current journey is at that point in time. And it's, for me, it's always acknowledging and giving respect to that space and being in that present state.
Yeah, I so agree. And I also think I think sometimes we can stick in our own view of the world and still honoring that and owning that and expanding that, but also honouring that other people have other views and that those can coexist. And for me, the spiritual journey or this path is a lot about paradox. So that masculine or that feminine, like pain and then joy, these things always being together and being possible together. And I think the more that we do drop those stories as well, and stories have energetic frequency that create consciousness. Like emotions have energetic frequency that create consciousness. So it's not so much that it's just emotion as such that people are dealing with, but that if those energies have formed other consciousnesses, then yeah, it can take some work just to like really hold strong in yourself while also honoring other energies too.
Yes, 100%. And you made a valid point that there, in that, you know, respecting other people's energy, respecting, you know, other people's thoughts and opinions, even though they might not align with your own, as we are all on this journey through life, through this life and our own journey, and assimilating or finding that balance within self is also acknowledging and accepting other people's journey. So thank you so much for spending time with us on this podcast, Gabrielle. I look forward to inviting you back another time to discuss some more specific topics. But today I was very keen for us to have an understanding of the work you do and, you know, sharing that with other people. And, you know, it's just a wonderful space, and especially in this day and time, you know, bringing in whether it's these ancient ancestral practices that we do or other energetic modalities that can help us in our everyday life. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I honour the path you've walked and all the vibration you hold and all the people that you're supporting as well. Mihi nui ye kare.
Thank you.
Blessing your journey.
Thank you.